بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We left off last week on the 11th adab. So لا يبسط رجليه إلى المقام الذي يجلس عليه المرشد ولا يبصق إليه وإن لم يكن الشيخ حينئذ بين يديه. In Basak is just bit. If I'm not mistaken. So, and do not spread your legs towards the place in which the Murshid sits, nor to spit in that direction, even if the Shaykh is not there at that particular time, or is not in front of him. فَإِذَا كَرَهَ الْفُقَهَاءُ بَسْطُ الرِّجْلَيْنِ وَالْبَسْطُ إِلَى الْكَعْبَةِ الْمُشَرَّفَةِ. The jurists dislike, have rendered it makruh, to spread the 2 feet and to spit towards the Kaaba Musharrafa, the respected Kaaba, even if you're not in front of it, meaning that even if you're sitting in your home, you're not to spread your feet towards the Kaaba nor to spit in that direction. لأن بيت الله مركز للأنوار والتجليات. And the reasoning behind that is because the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the epicenter for the nur and tajalliyat. هكذا قلب مرشدي مورد للتجليات الذاتية. In the same manner, the heart of the murshid is the heart of the spiritual guide is the Mawrad. Mawrad is like where something flows into. The receptacle for the tajalliyat dhatiyya, the tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَوَجَبَتْ مُرَاعَاهُ تِلْكَ الْآدَابِ لِلْمُرْشِدِ. And therefore it's necessary to, excuse me, be mindful of these manners with the Murshid. Rawa ibn Majah and Abdullah ibn Umar, رضي الله تعالى عنهما, قال that Ibn Majah, he narrates Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with both of them, قال, he said, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتوف بالكعبة ويقول, I saw رسول, the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, circumambulating with the Kaaba, and he said, "Ma atyabu wa atyabu rihak, how good you are and how good your fragrance. Ma azamuka wa azamu hurmatuk, how grand you are and how grand is your sanctity. Walladhi nafsi Muhammad, walladhi nafsi الذي نسى محمد بيده and by he in whose hands is the life of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم لحرمة المؤمن أعظم عند الله حرمة منك. The hurma or the sanctity of a Muslim is greater to Allah سبحانه وتعالى than your sanctity. ماله ودمه وأن نظن به إلا خيرا. That his wealth is sanctified, his blood is sanctified, and that one should should not keep an opinion of him except a good one. Should not think of him except good. And this is in Sunnah ibn Majah. And so the reasoning here is that if a person would honor the Kaaba with those adab that we mentioned before, then even more so with a righteous person. with a human being, and even more so with a with the righteous person. So that was why this hadith was brought over here to indicate that the maqam and the azma of insan is even higher than that of the Kaaba. So if the Kaaba is more than nur, then the Shaykh is more than nur, then the tariq al awla, one should keep those adab that one keeps with the Kaabatullah also in mind when they're in the presence of the Shaykh. Fa'ida. وقت شيء تحت القدم يدل على استحقاره. So this is the commentary that trampling over something underfoot indicates its lowliness. فلا ينبغي للسالك أن يدع قدمه على ذل المرشد لئلا يشتبه استحقاره. So in the same way, the salik should not step on the shadow even of the shaykh, lest one create some type of resemblance to wal-ayyadu billah, humiliating or trying to put down the shaykh and disgracing him. Because, like, yes, you're not putting it on him, but it's like his semblance is falling onto the ground and you're stepping all over it. There's mushabaha there. It's like you're mimicking it. فَيُحَاوِلُ أَلَّا يَقْعَ ذِلَّهُ عَلَى الْمُرْشِدِ لِأَنَّ الْإِنْقِطَاءُ الْضِيَاءُ قَدْ يُسَبِّبُ الْإِضْطِرَابُ الطَّبْعِيِّ. And a person should try that his own shadow doesn't fall upon the shaykh, because the cutting off of light or blocking of light sometimes becomes a cause for a person not to feel good. اضطراب الطبعي is, you know, some type of uljhan inside. Temperamentally, a person will feel uncomfortable. You can just translate this uncomfortable. So, you know, if there's a room and the light is coming and then you stand in the way and the shadow falls upon a person, and that might cause some taklif. A person should be mindful of that. وَلَا يَحْسِبُ هَذِهِ الْعَدَابُ بسيطة لأن الذرات الصغيرة عندما اجتمعت تصبح كثبة الرمل. And he's saying, and don't deem these adab to be too subtle, meaning we're becoming too technical and too deep. لأن الذرات الصغيرة لذرات الصغيرة, because indeed the small grains of sand عندما اجتمعت, when they come together, تصبح كثبة رملا, they become a mountain of sand. وقد قيل إن حبة لا تملأ كومة لكن تساعد حبوبا تملأ كومة. I'll have to look up the translation of that. But the meaning is that basically, a single grain, like, doesn't fill a vessel. But if the grains come together, then they shall fill it. قال الحافظ ابن قيم رحمه الله لا تستغفروا ذنبا بل انظروا إلى عزمة من تعصونه. That do not deem small any sin, but rather look at the greatness of the one that you are disobeying. بناء على هذا يمكن أن يقال لا تستحقروا آدابا. Based on this, a person, or analogizing on this, a person can say that do not deem any adab too small. بل راعوا ذات المرشد الذي أصبح وسيلة للوصول إلى المالك الحقيقي. But rather keep in mind and be mindful of that spiritual guide who has become a method or a means for you to reach the greatest, the true king, يعني الله. فكالشيخ مرشد عالم أن طالبا صادقا حضر في خدمة الشيخ قبل علي قريشي رحمه الله، مرشدي عالم مولانا غلام حبيب رحمه الله. He said that there was a true, a sincere student that once presented himself to Sheikh Fadl Ali Qureshi رحمه الله. وقال إن لطائفي توقفت منذ أياما لا أدري ما سببه. He said, my lataif, or subtle points in my soul, they've stopped their taharruk. Right? They're not in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that those atharat are gone. Those signs that they were alive and they had been quickened with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are no longer remain. For several days, la adri ma sababuhu, I don't know what is the cause of it. فقال الشيخ, انظر, لا بد أن يكون هناك ارتكاء سوء أدب. That he said, look, for sure, there is no way around except that you must have engaged in some bad adab. ويكون هذا جزاؤه, and that this is its recompense. ففكر طويلا حتى تذكر أن أصل الشيخ كان موضوعة قبل أيام وهذا السالك جاوز عليه فجرت لطائفه بعد التوبة والاستغفار. So he thought for a long time until he remembered that the staff of the Sheikh كانت موضوعة قبل أيام كانت وهذا السالك جاوز عليها. Okay. So that his staff was laying on the ground and he just stepped over it, like not really giving much ihtaram to it, because he should have respected it more because it belonged to the Sheikh. But he didn't really care and he just walked over it, and that was considered su'i adab. And after that when he made tawbah and istighfar, then his lata'if became jari again. And I guess an ancillary point to this is that in tasawwuf, this is a really subtle thing, but this is something to sort of bear in mind, that on this path, sometimes things which are very minor can have major consequences. Because look, this is all sort of extra, right? This is not all extra, but you can say that all of this is a bonus. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a bonus, a person gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala some type of fatḥ, gives them an opening, gives some types of inroads to get closer to Him, so on and so forth. All of this is, a ni'mah. And if a person doesn't do qadr of a ni'mah, really do qadr, meaning doing qadr of the ni'mah is not only to do qadr of the ni'mah itself, but to do qadr of everything that leads to that ni'mah as well, then a person can become mahroom from that. So while a person can reach getting heights along this path, you also risk, the stakes also run high. And meaning that not necessarily like a person that's too adab and they'll be thrown out of iman, that's not the thing, but that a person can easily lose it if they're not mindful. I think Mujaddad al-Fifani, he said that, one day, I missed one sunnah. I think it was putting which shoe on first, putting the right foot on first, something like that. And then he said, for that day, whatever type of epiphanies and openings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send upon me became closed for that day. So, we should be much more sensitive to even the minor. So, sinning is out of the question. We have to be sensitive about even the small adab and these types of things, because they can even have ramifications with regards to our progress. Al-adab al-thalith ashar, the 13th adab, la yamshi amama shaykh wa la yasnahya fil mashi khalfahu bal yahsibuhu sa'ada. I don't know if this is a typo. That he should not walk in front of the Shaykh, and he should not deem it belittling that he walked behind him, but rather he should deem it an honor. فَإِذَا commentary. المراد بالنهي عن المشي أمامه ألا يتقدمه في النهار. bila haja. That what's meant over here is that he should not walk in front of the sheikh during the day without any reason. فإن اضطر إلى المشي أمامه لحاجة فلا بأس. But if he's forced to walk in front of him for due to some type of a need, then there's no problem with that. بل قد يكون التقدم أولى كالمشي أمامه ليلا مخافة أن يكون في الطريق حيوان موذن أو حفرة أو حجر يزل به الإنسان. So, but in the night, walking in front of him is actually better, because out of fear that it could be something, an animal in the path that is harmful, or a ditch or a hole, يزيلو به الإنسان, that a person can slip and fall into it. أو يأمر الشيخ بالتقدم لسبب, or the sheikh might tell him that no, you walk ahead. فالتقدم هنا إذن عين أدب. In this situation, then walking in front is actually adab. إذا الأمر فوق الأدب. This is sort of a very classic refrain in the madrasa, that a person, it's good that it was mentioned over here, because it's a sort of a central principle that الأمر فوق الأدب. Many times a person becomes so used to their adab that they become ma'anus with that. And sometimes we become captivated by that adab, and that also becomes an aspect of the nafs. Because when the sheikh or the teacher will tell you to do something, then you say, "Oh, I can't do that," because you know they're so full of their adab. But the adab actually lies in following the command, not in one's own conception of what needs to be done or what's the right thing. So that's why they say al-amru, that the command is above adab. I'll give you a very simple example. A person, the teacher says, right, like in the madrasa, that, okay, you know, Ahmed, you're supposed to give bayan tomorrow after Zuhr. And then he says, no, Hazrat, I can't give, Ustadji, I can't give bayan. How can I give bayan and you're in the majlis? Then he gives bayan, he speaks very softly. And he's so, like, you know, trying to be humble, and it's real, he's feeling it. But that's sort of giving, you know, darr, that's causing harm and taklif and pain to the teacher. Rather, he should just have listened to him and carried on his order. So the thing behind adab is that you want to do idkhal usurur, you want to enter happiness into the heart of the other person. You want to create, you know, wus'a in their tabi'ah. And if a person is doing the opposite out of quote-unquote adab, then that's not really... that's not really indicated. خرج حضرة مرشد العالم من الحرم المكي الشريف لزيارة شخص. So مرشد العالم رحمه الله, he exited from the حرم المكة الشريف مكة مكرمة for visiting a person. فقال للمضيف امشي أمامنا فإن لا نعرف الطريق. So he told you know, the guide that walk in front of us because we don't know the path. فَقَالَ لَا, he said, no way. بَلْ تَقَدَّمَ أَنْتَ يَا سَيِّدِي, no, oh my Sayyid, or my master, you should walk in front. وَنَأَدُّلُّ عَلَى الطَّرِيقِ, and I'll tell you how to, which way to go. فَكُلَّمَا يَأْتِي لَفَّةً فِي الطَّرِيقِ احْتَاجَ الشَّيْخِ عَنْ يَنْ So every time they came to a turn in the road, then the sheikh needed to turn around to the back and ask, which direction are we going to go? So after a little time, the sheikh ordered him مَرَّةً ثَانِيَةً أَن يَتَقَدَّمَ فَأَتَغَرَى. So he told him a second time that, no, why don't you just walk in front and show me which way to go? And then he also apologized and took leave in the and excused himself in the second instance. وَقَالَ لَا يَا سَيِّدِي, he said, no, my captain, my chief, أَنَا بِالتَّخَلُّفْ أَجْدَرْ, it is more befitting that I be behind you. فَلَمَّا رَدَّهُ مَرَّةً ثَالِثَةً بِهَذَا الْجَوَابِ. So when he denied the sheikh the third time with the same answer, رفع الشيخ أصاه غاضبا وقال هل أنت شيخي أو أنا شيخه. He said, are you my sheikh or am I your sheikh? And he said that lifting his, he lifted his staff in anger, and he said, are you my sheikh, or am I your sheikh? فَهِنِيَ زِنْ أَدْرَكَ الْحَقِيقَةَ So at that point, then it dawned upon him the reality of the matter was أَقَدَّمَ, and then he went in front. الْأَصْلُ فِي أَعْمَةِ الْأَحْوَالِ So the principle in general conditions, أَلَّا يَتَقَدَّمَ الْمُرِيدِ الشَّيْخ بِلَا ضُرُورَةِ That a murid should not go in front of the sheikh without any reason. And this تقدم, you know, it's not, yes, it's physically as well, but also in general, things which create an element of going ahead or putting yourself in a position above, those things all should be avoided. فَفِي عُيُونِ الْأَخْبَارِ أَنَّهُ سُئِلَ عمر بن زيد عن تعليم وتربية ابنه وحسن تأديبه So in the Uyun of Akhbar, that he was at, that Umar bin Zayd, he was asked about the education and the disciplining of his son, وحسن تأدبه, and his the goodness of his manners. فقال ما مشيت نهارا إلا هو خلفي ولا مشيت ليلا إلا هو أمامي. He said that I did not walk in the day except that he was behind me, and nor did I walk during the night except that he was in front of me. وَلَا سَعُودَ سَقْفًا أَنَا تَحْتَهُ And he never climbed onto a roof that I was underneath him. قَالْ مُرْشَدِ عَالِمْ رَحِيمُ اللَّهِ كُنْتُ أَمْشِي خَلْفَ شَيْخِي كَالْكَبَشِ الْأَلِيفِ And Murshad Alim used to say that I used to walk behind my sheikh, Abdul Malik Siddiqui rahimullah, you could say a loving ram, right? A loving lamb. You know, sheepishly he would walk behind him, and lovingly. الأدب الرابع عشر يقوم المريد إذا قام الشيخ ويقعد بعد قعوده. The murid should stand up when the sheikh stands up. وَيَقْعُدُ بَعْدَ قُعُودِهِ And he should sit only after the sheikh has sat. And this shows that a person doesn't put themselves over someone else. Right? And it shows honor for the... this is one way to honor the sheikh, but it also shows that a person is able to delay their own comfort over the comfort, you know, or in view of the comfort of someone else. فَإِذَا مِنَ الْأَكْرَامِ أَنْ يَقُومُ الْمُرِيدُ عِنْدَمَا يَقُومُ الشَّيْخِ It's not standing up for the sheikh. That's a separate thing. Because, you know, I've seen that when Hazaji, for example, walk into the room and people stand up, he would, like, you know, very, he would make sort of a, almost a disgusted face, and he'd, like, tell people and do ishara to them to sit, and then sit down. Now, he wouldn't shout them out or anything like that, but he really didn't like it. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't like it. But this is when أَيَقُومُ الْمُرِيدُ عِنْدَمَا يَقُومُ الشَّيْخُ That when the sheikh gets up to leave, then or gets up to go somewhere, then you can also stand up. وَيَجْلِسُ عِنْدَمَا يَجْلِسُ الشَّيْخُ And then he should sit when the sheikh has sat down. بَعْضَ النَّاسِ يَسْأَلُونَ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَهَى أَصْحَابَهُ مَرَّةً عَنِ الْقِيَامِ فَلِمَاذَا يَقُومُ النَّاسُ إِكْرَامًا فِي مَجَالِسِ الشُّيُوخِ So actually, he addresses this here. So some of the people, they asked that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he forbade his companions from standing. So why do people stand out of respect in the majalis of the shuyukh? هَؤُلَاءِ مَا يَقُومُونَ فِي هَذِي الْمَوْضَعِ These people don't stand in this particular instance. مطلب, the murids don't stand in this particular instance. وَمَا يَسْتَحْسِنُونَ الَّذِينَ يَقُومُونَ Okay, I'm sorry. We explained this in the beginning. I guess perhaps there. So when the sheikh stands to leave, then you can also stand. So then some people may ask, then why should you stand at all? Because Rasulullah says he forbade the Sahaba from standing. فلماذا يقوم الناس إكراما في مجالس الشيوخ؟ So why do the people stand up in the gatherings of the shiuch? So Hazrat is saying that no, these people ما يقومون في هذا الموضع. And these people who make this objection don't stand when this happens. وما يستحسنون الذين يقومون. And they don't deem it good for those people who do stand. وهذا السؤال ناشئ عن قلة العلم. And this question actually arises due to paucity of knowledge and due to lack of knowledge. من حسن الشريعة المحمدية أنه إذا كان في قضية فريقان يعمر كل منهما بأداء حقوق الفريق الثاني. That from the beauty of the Muhammadan صلى الله عليه وسلم law is that the Sharia is that إذا كان في قضية if in there's any type of case that is any type of court case, for example, there are two parties. يؤمر كل منهما, each one of them will be ordered بأداء حقوق الفريق الثاني to give the right of the second group. حتى يستمر الأمور بأسلوب حسن until matters begin to run in a good way. ويقوم بينهما علاقة الحب and establish between them the connection of love والإكرام and mutual respect. ففي جانب واحد أمر الشريعة المريد بالقيام لتقدير الشيخ. So in one situation, the Sharia has actually told and ordered the murid to stand up in out of respect for the Sheikh. والامتثال بالحديث أنزل الناس منازلهم. And in view of carrying out the hadith, أنزل الناس منازلهم, in the Jami Saghir, that treat people and honor people according to their position. So you don't treat the plumber the same way that you treat a king, right? This is an Islamic thing that every person has a certain place in society, a certain dignitaries and nobles have a certain type of status. And you need to treat people according to their condition. It doesn't mean that you don't be fair, but it doesn't mean that you completely ignore the realities that exist in life as well. And oftentimes we do this normally out of force of habit anyway. That's just the way that life works. But this is actually an Islamic thing. And it's not necessarily something which is based on profession. But you know, for example, if a big sheikh is coming, then it doesn't say, you're not supposed to think, oh, he's just a human being like any other human being, and then just treat him like, you know, just normal. This is someone who has position, so you should treat him with position. A great alim comes, you treat him with his position. A great ambassador comes, you treat him with his position. وبجانب آخر أمر الشيخ أن يكره أن يقوم له الناس حتى يسلم من العجب والكبر. And at the same time, the sheikh has been ordered to dislike the people stand for him until he becomes safe from developing vanity or arrogance. فيزعم المريد القيام كالواجب. And so the murid should deem standing as if it is wajib. And ويأمر المرشد بالرفق بالقعود. And the murshid should order, out of compassion, that they should sit down. حتى يبقي ارتباط الحب والاعتقاد. And in doing so, that you establish this association of love and conviction. أحاديث النهي عن القيام معروفة. The ahadith which indicate that it is impermissible to stand are very well known. ولنذكرها هنا ثلاثة أحاديث عن القيام. And over here we will mention three ahadith about the standing. الأول روى أبو داود والنسائي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه. أبو داود النسائي narrate from أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يجلس معنا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to sit with us في المسجد, in the masjid, يحدثنا. فإذا قام قمنا. And so يجلس معنا في المسجد يحدثنا, he used to talk to us. فإذا قام, and when he stood, قمنا قياما, we also stood up. like قياما. We stood up. حتى نراه قد دخل بعض بيوت أزواجه, until we saw that he had entered into some of the houses of his wives. And like we said, this is in Abu Dawood. في الأدب باري في الحلم والنسائي في القصامة. So these are all the حمار اسم بذل مجهود in جامع أصول, so on and so forth. So what he's saying is that the hadith of telling people not to stand are very well known, but over here he's mentioned three hadiths where it is their injunction is to stand, and this is very clear from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Sahaba used to do that. الثاني روى الشيخان that in this Imam Muslim and Imam Bukhari narrate and Sayyidin al-Khudri and Abi Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه قال نزل أهل قريظة على حكم سعد بن معاذ, that the people of قريظة بنو قريظة accepted the ruling of سعد بن معاذ. فأرسل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى سعد. So they agreed to have سعد بن معاذ adjudicate between them in the matter. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم sent for سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه فأتاه على حمار. So he came to. He came riding on a donkey. فلما دنا قريبا من المسجد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم للأنصار. So when he came close to the masjid, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told the Ansar, قوموا إلى سيدكم, stand for your master, stand for your chief. And this is in both Muslim and is also in Bukhari. فقام الأنصار إكراما لسعد رضي الله عنه. So the people stood up out of respect for Sa'ad bin radiallahu ta'ala. فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَقُومَ الْمُرِيدُ لِشَيْخِهِ أَمَلًا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ النَّبَوِيِّ الشَّرِيفِ. And so similarly, a murid should stand up for his sheikh, making the intention that I want to do amal on this prophetic noble hadith. عَلَى صَاحِبِهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, on his companions be prayer and praise. So this was not, you know, some people might even make the argument, oh, well, this was cause for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And again, we already discussed that. When you can't just flippantly call something being cause with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, it has to actually be documented. There has to be a reason, something that shows khususiyah. And over here, very clear, there's evidence to the contrary, which shows that they're standing up not for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, but actually for Sa'ad bin Ma'az. Al-Thalith. And Sa'ad bin Ma'az, if I'm not mistaken, used to be one of the ulama of the Yahud. And this is a long story of what actually happened with Banu Qurayza before the Battle of Khandaq, that they engaged in treachery. And after that, they knew they were in for it. So after Rasulullah had finished, or the Battle of the Khandaq had finished, the Battle of the Trench had finished, then they went back and then they approached Banu Qurayza, and then they knew they had done wrong. So he said, who's going to decide? He gave them an option to let one of them decide. So they agreed for Sa'ad bin Ma'az to adjudicate upon them, and then he gave the ruling that, you know, how they were supposed to be dealt after that. الثالث عن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنه. That's roughly the story. And the third hadith is أم سلمة رضي الله عنها. She said, كنا نساء يصلين على أحد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That the women used to pray in the time in the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإذا سلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انصرفنا. And when the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave salam, he said, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, انصرفنا, we turned to leave. وثبت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم remained, ومن صلى معه, and those with him, ما شاء الله, as long as they wanted, ثم يقوموا, and then they would stand up. مسلم أبي يعلى الموصلي. وفي رواية أخرى عنها, and from a different riwayah, she said, كنا نساء في أحد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the women in the time of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا سلم من المكتوبة قمنا, that when he gave salam from the first prayer, made the salam for the first prayer, قمنا, we stood up. وثبت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن صلى خلفه من الرجال. And then, so Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم remained, and those who prayed with him also remained. فَإِذَا قَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم قَامَ الرِّجَالِ. And so when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up, then the people stood up. So again, showing adab, that they didn't stand up and just leave before Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith also indicates another important point, which is just to be borne in mind, that for those people who indicate that there's no such thing as separation between genders, then how do you explain this hadith? In the one time that a person is supposed to be closest to their Lord, in the one time where they're supposed to be the least amount of fitna, in that one generation or epoch where people were the purest of heart, even in that situation, in the salah, the Rasulullah ﷺ would first allow the women to leave the salah, and only after they left, then were the men to leave. So that shows, right, first of all, that if they were standing in the same place, or if they were mixed, then how could that, why would that even make sense? And number two, that if they were in a separate place, they could just have left from a separate entrance, or they could have, you know, if there was, it wasn't such a big deal, people could have left as they wanted. But to systematically ordain that the women leave first, so that there's no chance of cross-interaction, right? That's the only thing that makes sense. And so this establishes this, that at the societal level, that there was a separation between the men and the women. And this is not to say, for example, you know, sometimes Rasulullah would discuss a certain matter. For example, a woman came to him and she has a masla that she wanted to ask, she could ask him. So that's different from what was discussed on a, that was, so people who like take something like that and say, oh, look, there's no further, where are you coming with this from? You're ignoring all the other evidence. So then they say at a conference there shouldn't be any type of partha, and at, you know, X, Y, and Z there shouldn't be any type of separation between men and women. And Sheikh Hussein had said it beautifully. He said if there wasn't a physical barrier, then every woman's veil of her face was a hijab, basically. You know, was that physical barrier between the men? And obviously that's not the state of affairs anymore. But secondly, look over here that they had complete separate areas. And there was not allowed, and there was not even a mechanism, or there was an instated mechanism that even if it was inconvenient that they had to stay longer, they would wait until all of the women left first, so that there was even no possibility of cross-interaction between genders over there. So, al-Adab al-Khamis Ashara, the 15th, let's see, how long is this one? This one's short. I think, inshallah, we can finish this. الأدب الخامس عشر لا يكون سواء بحضرة الشيخ وبغيبته ولا يجعل ظاهره كباطنه أي لا يكون أي اختلاف بين ما في قلبه وما يقول بلسانه. That he should be, the one should be the same in front of the sheikh and in the absence of the sheikh. وَلَا يَجْعَلْ ظَاهِرُهُ كَبَاطِنِهِ. And he should make their outward the way that the inward is. أَيْ لَا يَكُونْ أَيُّ إِخْتِلَافٍ, and meaning that there should be no type of difference between مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ, whatever is in his heart, وَمَا يَقُولُ بِلِسَانِهِ, and what he says with his tongue. And this is one of the real sad things that often happens, is that because a person has so much respect for the sheikh, then oftentimes they'll start saying things which are hypocritical, meaning that they really feel something, but they just want to say something nice. Or they don't, that they want to get into the sheikh's good books. And then it becomes like this, you know, almost this competition between the murids that who can get closest to the sheikh. And I mean, this is all losing the purpose. You know, the point is to show adab. And one of the adab is that a person should be honest. Person should be transparent, a person should be real. There's no need for fakeness. You could say it this way, that being fake is a type of bad adab. So instead of taking a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this would not only create fitna, but takes a person farther away. فَإِذَا الْمُرِيدُ الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ مُسْتَقِيمًا أَمَامَ الشَّيْخِ وَخَلْفَهُ هُوَ كَمَرِيدٍ يَخْفِي مِنَ الطَّبِيبِ مَرْضَهُ. That the murid لا يكون مستقيما الذي لا يكون مستقيما أمام الشيخ وخلفه. The murid who is not firm in front of the sheikh and behind him, he is kamaridan yafi min al-tayyib mardahu. He is like a sick person who hides his sickness from the doctor. ولا شك أن هذا المريض لن يبرأ من المرض. And there's no doubt that this sick person will never be cured of his illness. And this is also a very good point that he mentions over here. So often, people hide their spiritual sicknesses from the teacher. Now, the teacher's not alimi ghaib, the shaykh is not alimi ghaib, but he'll just know because they're so afraid of looking bad. A person has to understand that if I'm sick, I'd rather look bad a million times and get the sickness out of my life than to live with it and him being good of me. Because what are you going to think, do with that good opinion on the day of Qiyamah? Right. It's sort of worthless. A person can't cash that in. But if a person can, and that's the role of the sheikh, is not to think good of the murid, is rather that they help them in removing the things that they need to remove from their life. And this very, very, very often happens. That person has those deep down secrets that they feel very embarrassed about, and then just let those fester, keep on thinking that, oh, you know, it'll get better, and it never does. Those are the things that you need to bring out and just mention. And the reality is, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, the mashayikh that I've seen, they have so much hilm, and they're so not judgmental, that even if you say the worst things, they look with the eyes of shafaqah, right? They're like, you know, it's like an engineer. When you present a problem with him, he's not evaluating the problem or why does the problem exist. He's like, how do you solve it? They see that as their role. Their role is to fix things. And so when you present something, there's not a value judgment being passed against you as a judgment. It's like, okay, here's something that's being fixed, right? This is my job to fix it. Let me get to work. كان مرشد العالم يقول على المريد أن يبين كل ما عنده للمرشده. That مرشد العالم used to say that it is upon the murid, spiritual aspirant, to make clear whatever is within him, to whatever is inside, to the spiritual guide. كَمَا تَبَيِّنَ الْبِنْتُ كُلَّ مَا لَهَا لِأُمِّهَا. In the same way that a daughter, she tells everything to her mother, at least in those times they used to. فَإِنَّ الشَّرِيعَةَ, the mother used to be the confidant for the daughter. إن الشريعة كما أباحت كشف الستر عند الطبيب, in the same way that the Sharia has allowed for opening the private parts of a person's body in front of a doctor for ilaj, for treatment, كذلك أباحت بل أوجبت كشف الجميع أعماله للعلاج الروحاني أمام المرشد. In the same way, it has allowed, rather ordained, and mandated the revelation of all of his actions in order for that they could be cured, for spiritual cure in front of the sheikh. فإن أخفى المريد على المرشد يحتملها هو الخسارة. So, and if a murid hides something from the sheikh, then he cares. It's not like, you know, that person is necessarily doing this. I mean, he's the person who's going to have to carry the loss for that. قال قائل إن أغلقتم الباب لإخفاء العيوب لا يزال الصدق خارجا. That if you lock the door to hide deficiency, the truth will remain outside the door. ولا يفيد الذكر حين إذن. And in that situation, the reminder is not beneficial. وقال الشاعر ما معناه. And the شاعر said to the effect, ما زلت ذكرت حتى سحق لساني لكن لم يتوطن الذكر من قلبي فقد وقعت في مصيبة ألقيت في عنقك عقودا ثقيلة والصبحة ولكن قلبك معقودا بالآثام فكيف يؤثر عليك الذكر. That I was continuously in zikr حتى سحق لساني until صيغة. Yeah, the, until my I broke my tongue, I crushed my tongue. لكن لم يتوطن الذكر من قلبي, but the zikr didn't find a home in my heart. فقد وقعت في مصيبة, and I fell into a difficulty. ألقيت في عنقك, I threw in your neck عقودا ثقيلة, a heavy knot. وسبحة سبحة سبحة is to swim. I don't know if that fits here. Bearish chaplet. I don't even know what that is in English. Chaplet is a form of Roman Catholic prayer. I don't think that's what's meant here. ولكن قلبك معقود بالأسامي. Oh, okay. ما زلت ذكرت حتى صحيح لساني لكن لم يتوطن ذكر من قلبي. Okay, maybe this is what you're saying here, that I remained mentioning things to you and reminding you until my own tongue broke. ولكن لم يتوطن الذكر من قلبي. But the reminder that came from my heart did not find any home. يعني it had no effect on the other person. فقد وقعت في مصيبة, and you fell into some type of difficulty. ألقيت في عنقك, and I threw into your neck a heavy rope. وصبحة ولكن قلبك معقودا, but your heart was bound with sin. فكيف يؤثر عليك الذكر, and then how can my my reminding have any type of effect? Again, just highlighting the fact that when a person has these demons inside, then their suluk actually gets really gunked up. You can't really progress because those are the anchors which are holding a person back. And then even the person, even if they get istiqamah to even make zikr regularly, then even then it doesn't have the same effect if you get rid of some of these major problems. Like if there's a sister and she's always giving the rest of her family a hard time and fighting with everyone at home, and then she's like, oh, I'm doing an hour of zikr every single day. I mean, I'm not so impressed. You need to sort of release that fitna and have a stable household, right? And then the zikr will really have its effect on you. So that's just sort of the main principle over there, inshallah. So let's hold it here for this week, inshallah. We unmute people. If there's any quick questions, you can take them right now. As always, you guys can email. For those who have already sent me emails, sort of a little bit behind, inshallah, I'll try to get to them at some point in time. Let me see, take this off here. All right, if there's no questions, any questions? Okay, khair, inshallah. Then we'll meet next week. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.